Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord
for that good music. Praise the Lord, Brother Dave. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome, welcome. Good to have you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. God is good, isn't he? Cheryl's got a couple of testimonies she wants to give, and so I want to read them that we've got this week.
This is Jim Carpenter. I spoke with you last week on Monday. I asked you to pray for a friend of mine named Jack. I had met with him a few weeks ago and told him about Matthew 18:18-19, and he agreed with me, and I prayed for a complete healing of his cancerous tumor in his colon and rectum. He did go through with the surgery on Tuesday last week to remove the tumor. The report after his surgery was that the tumor did not have any cancer cells, and it had not grown into any other tissue. Praise God. Also, we had agreed for a speedy recovery. Well, he went home on Thursday. Surgery on Tuesday, went home on Thursday. I didn't even have a chance to see him in the hospital. He is doing well. Thank you so much for your prayer and encouraging advice about helping others get healed.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
So you don't have to be pastor to be the only one that gets people healed. He teaches. Amen. You just become a Thermonite, and he teaches you how to do it.
Amen.
Okay. This is the pastor in Cleveland, Tennessee, that Robert Bankston met. They had the angel that moved the car. You remember that one? Okay. Well, he wanted to share a miracle that happened for Jessica Leonard. She's now 39 years old and has had seizures since she was 5 years old. For 34 years, she had seizures. She has taken medicine that was costing $1,000 per month. As a child, she was molested and raped by family and strangers to make money for her mother. After helping her to get delivered and set free, and also teaching her to forgive all those who had harmed her, and also helping her to allow her husband to be the priest of the house, she has now been medicine and seizure free for 3 weeks. And I wanted to pass this for sharing. We love you all in TLSM.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow, we love you all at TLSM too.
Yeah, there you go.
Praise
the Lord. And the young lady that has a testimony about her daughter.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That young lady's got her testimony about her daughter. Would you please come up here and give us this testimony? Praise, this is wonderful. It's amazing how God does things.
Amen.
He does. Hold this up close to your mouth. Tell us who you are and what the testimony is.
My name is Sherry, and I came to the last healing school, and Pastor Thurman taught about how sexual sin can put curses on your children. And I had had a daughter out of wedlock 31 years ago, and I gave her for adoption. And she would never contact me, even though her mother knew where I was. And my mom had always asked me how she was doing, and I said, Mom, I'm so sorry, but I have never heard from her. And I came and repented of all the sin, and Pastor Thurman told me and prayed for me and told me to contact her. And Monday was her birthday, and I found her on Facebook, and I sent her a birthday message, and she contacted me back and said, I want to have a relationship with you.
Amen.
After 31 years. Yes. So, yes, prayers do work. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much.
Prayers do work, I'll tell you for sure. In the business we're in, if prayer didn't work, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? In fact, this morning, about 4 o'clock, I think it was, 4 a.m. this morning, we got an email. A lady says, pray, pray, pray. We're underwater in South Texas. 13 inches. You know, but I have prayed 2 or 3 times for this. In fact, what I want us to do right now, I want us to just take a moment and pray for this situation down here in South Texas and pray for the government and everything that the Lord will bless them. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods, and that you're in total control. And help us, Father, to read your word and to walk in obedience to your word. Do what your word says so we can be blessed and not cursed. Lord, we know that the blessings and curses are still here. We know that when we sin, and fall away from your truth, that it brings curses upon us and our children. And Lord, we ask you to be merciful to us and forgive us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that's cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And we can come to the throne room of God and we can petition you and you will hear our prayer. And when we come in boldly, you'll forgive our sins and you'll restore us to fellowship and you will renew our land. And Lord, we want you to renew our land. And as we serve you and love you and worship you and praise you, we ask you to restore homes, restore marriages, restore buildings, you know, things that one city down south is here somewhere, Lord, I can't remember the name of it, Rockport. I think they said Rockport was totally destroyed. The entire city, there was like 10,000 people, there's not one single building left standing. It totally, totally destroyed the city. So, Lord, those people will be working for a long time. So we ask you to help them, to put the right people down there to help them, lead them, and that they may serve you and that they may, it may bring them to a closer walk with you so that they may realize and understand that you are the mighty God and you are the King of Kings and that you're in charge. Lord, we thank you that there had been so little loss of life. It could have been much, much worse, but there's only been a few people that have been killed in this, and we're so grateful for that. We ask you to bless those that are still alive and well and use them to help each other and help us. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, for being the mighty God that you are, and we thank you for giving us this earth and that you've given us this earth and you've given us the earth to dominate, to pray over it and to take authority over it and see you do great and mighty things. And we are so grateful that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and that you will use all of us mightily to do great things. Lord, send the resources that we will need to rebuild all these towns and people's lives and everything else. And Lord, help us to... You said that if we will serve you and love you and worship you, you will make us prosper. You said if we will not serve you, if we will not love you, if we will not do what you tell us, that we will not prosper. So, Lord, we want to prosper so we can be a blessing to others. If we're not a blessing, if we don't serve you and get blessed, then we can't bless others. So, Lord, thank you for blessing us and blessing others as we go about this business that we're in here in these few short years that we're here on this earth. It's so, so short. Life is so short. And Lord, I thank you for saving people and loving people and blessing people. Now use us all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Yes, we need all the help we can get. Definitely need all the help we can get. I want us to look at some of the things that's available to us when we go. I want to start with Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 1. And I want us to look at that. I want to read a little bit here and I'm going to have Cheryl read this for me about what Paul's saying here to the church at Corinth. Okay, honey, read verse 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and Timotheus, our brother.
Okay, go ahead.
To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Read on.
We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you.
You know, there was a statement right there that we kind of slough off a lot. It says, pray for each other. Do you know that if you don't pray, I've come to realize over my life that there's only one prayer that God can't answer, and that's the one you do not pray. If you don't pray, he can't do anything. See, as we've come to realize on this earth, God has used man to help him to get things done on this earth. In fact, this last week, I went back and somebody said something about my teaching on how to get a lost person saved. So this last week, they had made a couple of comments about it, and I thought, well, I haven't listened to that in a long time. So I got in my office and I listened to it twice, two times through, and I thought to myself, Lord, I want to thank you and praise you again for the great and awesome knowledge and wisdom you gave me to put that teaching together. Amen. No man, but that tells you the prayers. I stopped and think that the times that I got, just like I was this week, in my office with my door closed, with just me and God, and I'm in the Word, and I'm praising Him and asking Him for wisdom. I need wisdom, Lord. I need understanding. I need to know why people do not get saved. Well, when he finally revealed that to me, and he didn't do it in one big lump sum, he gave me little bitty morsels of information. And just like when that scripture says, if there's any lost. Now I thought, okay, I need to find out what this is all about, because this is my question. If people are lost, why are they lost? It says, if there's any lost, they're lost because the God of this world has blinded their mind to the truth. So who's the critter? The devil. The devil is blinding our mind to the truth. Well, if we find out what we can do and how to do it, we can kick that devil out and we can see mighty things happen. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't make any difference whether you're trying to get somebody saved or whether they're not doing something that you like. In fact, I've done a teaching here a long time ago. One of my teachings has been very well utilized out there. It says, how to pray and change anyone. How to pray and change anyone. When I learned that we have to do things God's way, and we have to go to Him and pray, and that the hands of the world, the whole lost world, the whole entire world, the hands of those people, the lives are in our command. If we don't pray for those people will never get saved. If you don't pray for somebody, if you're having trouble with a mate, if you're having trouble with a person at work, if you're having trouble with anybody, if you don't pray, and all you do is what most of us do, and I'm pretty good at this myself, grumbling and complaining. Any of y'all have that problem too? Yeah, so I'm pretty good at it. You know, I guarantee I'm pretty good at it. Should I be good at grumbling and complaining? No. God says He hates grumbling and complaining. So what should I be doing? I should be praising the Lord and praising Him for my answer. So whenever you learn that if you're having troubles, you go to God. Now, everybody in here, almost, I guess not all of you, but when I think about this, some of you know this little problem, but some of you have not seen it. But whenever Cheryl and I got married, she had a puppy. And whenever I saw this little deal, she just kept talking about Angel. I said, who in the world is Angel? See, I mean, this girl, God gave her to me and gave me to her, and we never had a date. Not one single date, you know. And so anyway, whenever he told me to marry her, I thought, well, marry Cheryl. She's a woman that goes to my church. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. You know, what do you do? God just says, Cheryl's going to be your wife. Well, whenever we did get together, when the Lord put us together, and we got married in 40 days, and she kept talking about Angel. And I said, who in the world is Angel? She said, Angel's my puppy. I said, you have a beast? And she said, I have a dog. I said, where does that beast sleep? She says, on my bed. I said, well, when you and me get married, I ain't sleeping in the bed with no dog. So I said, you know, you're going to have to teach that beast somewhere else to sleep. So anyway, she said, okay. So she had 40 days to take care of that. So she trained Angel to sleep on the floor under the bed. And for the next 10 years, little Angel slept under the floor, under the bed, on the floor. And we had no problems. You know, she got along okay, as long as she stayed on the floor and I stayed on the top part of the bed. We were okay. I didn't have a problem with her sleeping under the bed. But really, I didn't want her even to do that. But anyway, the day finally come when Angel got 16 years old. And how many of you know all things have to pass away? Isn't that sad? But that's the way God made this earth. So when she was 16 years old, she got to having a problem. So we took her down to the vet. Took her down there, and the vet looked at her, and he said, well, boy, said, she's got a body with no arthritis or nothing. She's got a really great body, but said her heart looks like it's just about ready to explode. He said her heart, she's not going to make it much longer. The girl said, well, how much time do you think she might have? She said, if she lives 6 weeks, you're going to be lucky. Well, 6 weeks almost to the day, that little girl died in Cheryl's arms in my office. And anyway, after she died, we buried her and everything. And so anyway, a few days later, everything's okay. So a month or two later, her brother asked her, said, Cheryl, you going to get another puppy? And she says, no, I don't think so. Said, Thurman don't like dogs, so he probably never let me have another puppy. So anyway, another month or two goes by, and she gets a missing Angel so bad, she comes to me and says, honey, I really miss Angel. Can I have another puppy? I said, absolutely not. Absolutely, ain't going to be no more dogs in this house. That's it. Well, she had heard me teach how to get a, change anybody, how to pray and change anybody. Now, see, if you take your wife to church, you're in a dangerous ground. Especially if she hears things like how to pray and change anyone. So she goes and gets a cup. She don't give me any trouble. She doesn't say a word to me. She just goes and gets a couple of her girlfriends and says, I want you all to pray with me. You know, I want to pray and change Thurman's heart. Said he's got an extremely hard heart when it comes to dogs. He don't like dogs. So she said, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, she's taking the word of God. Her and her girlfriends are standing on the word. And she says, my husband doesn't like dogs, but I would like to have another puppy. So I'm asking you to soften his heart and make him more like Jesus. Now then, if your wife is praying, Lord, soften my husband's heart and make him more like Jesus, that guy is in trouble. I mean, if one of his daughters, or this works either way for the husband or the wife, it doesn't make any difference. It works. So she said, Lord, you'll have to soften Thurman's heart, because his heart is so hard when it comes to dogs. He will never let me have a puppy unless you audibly speak to him and tell him that you've made a puppy for me. And so anyway, she thanked the Lord and everything. So for a couple of weeks, we go along, and then one day she walks in and said, honey, has the Lord spoke to you yet? And I said, about what? She said, about Lily Scrivener. I said, Lily Scrivener? Who is Lily Scrivener? She says, my new puppy. Now, see, she's got great faith. She's believing that she's going to get one. She was talking. So anyway, I said, no, he has not. And if he does, the answer is still no. And I said, if you bring a dog home, I'm going to kill it. But I don't want no dogs in this house. Now, does that sound like an old, mean, hard-hearted guy? Does it sound like even God would have trouble with that heart? See, it sounds like it, doesn't it? But when his daughter and a couple of his other daughters are in there praying and saying, Lord, you need to soften Thurman's heart and make him more like Jesus. Lord, thank you for softening my husband's heart and making him more like Jesus so I can have a puppy. Thank you, Lord, it's done. So they prayed, and they prayed in according to the word of God. So about a week or two later, I'm sitting in my office studying on Saturday night about 11:30, and all of a sudden I heard this just as clear as a bell, son. And I looked up, because I just knew, as clear as that sounded, I knew the King of Kings was going to be standing right there in my office in front of my desk. I looked, and of course, I'm looking around, because I said, Lord, is that you? And he said, yes, son. And he said, son, are you going to withhold from your daughter, or from my daughter, or from your wife, are you going to withhold from your wife what I've made special for her? I said, Lord, you made something special for Cheryl? He said, yes, son, a puppy. Now, stop and think about this. You know, us men, actually the women too, but the men have no idea of the position God gives you in the home. When I stop and meditate on that story, when I think about God speaking to me, the King of Kings, the God of Gods and the Lord of Lords, spoke to me, a mere man here on earth. About a dog. He spoke to me about a dog. And he says, are you going to withhold from your wife? Which is saying, if you don't want her to have this, I've already made this puppy for your wife, but if you don't want her to have it, all you got to do is say, no, Lord, I don't want a puppy in my house. And he said, I'll give it to somebody else. Do you realize that's what he's doing? Do you realize that's the authority and the power and dominion and everything he gave you, the husband? And we as husbands, even we as wives, none of us seem to use these powers and authorities like he tells us. We get mad at each other and get to fussing at each other, and you can't never settle nothing like that. But when you learn that you can pray. Like my wife, she didn't fuss at me when I told her, no, honey, I don't want no dogs in the house. You know I don't like dogs. So she did not give me a heart. She did not say, well, if you love me, you'd let me have a puppy. You know, she didn't come back at me like that. That's the way so many women do. They come back and try to make their husband feel little or small, and that's not what you need to do. If you want to change his heart, there's only one that can change his heart, and that one is God. You cannot change his heart, either her heart. Either way, it won't work. But when you go to the throne of grace boldly, like he said, and you come into the throne room of God, and you begin to tell the Lord what your petition is and what you want, and ask him to do something, whenever Cheryl asked the Lord to soften my heart and make me more like Jesus so that she could have a puppy, and then she thanked the Lord for doing it. Just like he said, pray about everything with thanksgiving. Is that what he said?
Yes.
So when you do it that way, guess what God's going to do? But he's not going to go above the man's authority on the earth. But let me tell you what. Whenever I heard that audible voice, I mean to tell you, it couldn't have been any clearer. And if I was right here right now, as I'm hearing my own voice with my own ears right now, it couldn't have been any clearer when I heard him say, son. And I looked around because I recognized that voice. I've heard that voice, I know, 50-plus times in my life. And I said, yes, Lord. He said, son, are you going to withhold from your wife what I've made special for her? Now, if God makes a statement like that, and you hear him say that, what do you think you're going to do? Are you going to tell God no? I mean, after God has sent his own son to the cross to die for you so you could be saved, are you going to tell him no to anything he asks you to do? I'd hope not, but did you know people every day do that? God asks us to do things and to be about his business, and he asks us to do things, and we turn around. Just remember, he didn't do much for you, did he? Did he do much for you? He only went to the cross for you, right? He only died on the cross for you. He only took that beating for you. And you're going to tell him no? But just think of the people. Something simple. You take a church like used to. I went to a church that had a Sunday school division. And that one day, one of those leaders asked me to teach a Sunday school couples class. And I really had no idea, really, what Jesus did for me on the cross. I mean, although I knew about it all, I was a deacon in the Baptist church and everything else, but I just told him, I said, you know, I can't teach a Sunday school class. I can't do that. Now then, if I finally, after the administrator told me, he said, well, you go home and pray about it, Thurman, see what the Lord tells you to do. So for a couple of weeks, I prayed over that and agonized over that, and I guess slowly but surely, the Lord began to reveal to me what he had done for me. And when you consider, there's no comparison. So I finally come back and I told the administrator, I said, you know, I've never taught a Sunday school class. I have no idea how to teach a Sunday school class. But I just told God, I said, if you're led that I'm supposed to be the one to do this, then all I got to say is I'm just going to present to him a vessel. And Lord, you'll have to do it through me. I can't do it. And that's what he wants. All I want is you to say yes and be willing to yield yourself to me. And if husbands and wives, church members, if we would do that, if we would learn how to pray, go to the throne of grace, to pray for our mate or our friends or our relatives at work, just like Cheryl did to pray for me. So anyway, when after the Lord spoke to me, it was awesome. It's awesome to hear God speak to you over a puppy. You know, I mean, just I'm kind of like that king was that time when the prophet told him, go down dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed. What? Go down that stupid, dirty river? You know, I mean, I could have stayed home and dipped in the clean river. He said, sir, if he'd asked you to go fight a war for him, you'd have went and done it. Something big, you know, so you could have said, I had something to do, but to go dip in the dirty Jordan River, this way if you get healed after 7, we're going to know it's God that did it. It ain't nothing you done. See, that's what he has to do with all of us. He has to do things so that we can see that it's him doing it. He don't want you to do nothing. He wants to do it through you. And, you know, and of course, it was when I told the administrator that day, I told him, I said, you know, I guarantee he'll have to do it through me because I don't know a thing about teaching a Sunday school class. And I can just hear the Lord now saying, that's why I want you to teach one, because I'm going to make a teacher out of you. At that time, I had no idea. I'd never taught a Sunday school class. But I had taught some system. Now, I didn't have a problem at all standing up before 35 engineers with all kinds of degrees and stand up before them and say, okay, gentlemen, today we're going to work on a DC-862 series. And I knew that airplane from the tip of the nose to the tail. I could show you everything. I could go out to that airplane. You could not pull a panel off of that airplane nowhere. Underneath, bottom, top, I knew what was behind that panel. I knew where every bolt. I knew everything a man needed to know to teach a flight crew about a DC-862 or 63. I could teach you those things because I knew that thing. How did I learn that? Hours and hours and hours of study. That's why I felt so confident. You know, when I went to engineering school, I even taught in engineering school after I got out for a while because I made such good grades. They were amazed at what I knew, and I studied. But here I come to a Sunday school class, and I can't do it. You know, do you think God knew the gifts and the talents he had put in me? And he said, son, all you got to do is just make yourself available. I will make a teacher out of you, and I will use you for my glory. You just make yourself available. Lord, I can't do it. He said, I know you can't. I made you, and I know you can't. But I know with me in you, if you'll just let me go, I said, then we'll do something great. And I'll save people, heal people, and deliver people. And at that time, I didn't have a single person to my record. I had never gotten a single person saved. So I told the man, I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll start teaching a class. So I started teaching this class. It wasn't but very many Sundays into it. One of the guys, he said, I see we're going to be studying about Paul next week. He said, he studied ahead. So he said, you want to tell us something today about what we may be looking for at Paul? I said, well, the class is just about over. I said, you know, I don't have time today. We'll try to do that later. And so anyway, I went out from there and I said, Lord, who is Paul? Lord, who is Paul? I don't know who Paul is, and I'm a Sunday school teacher. Oh, my goodness gracious. I know a little bit more about the Bible than that today. So anyway, when Cheryl and I was answering all these emails in the last few days, some of the ones I told her, I said, just tell those people just to start reading in the book of Matthew and read and read and read and read. That's the way you learn God's word, is just read it over and over and over. And like whenever I started reading, like I've told Dave many times, and he said, Pastor, how did you get to this point? I said, Dave, I studied this book from 5 to 15 hours a week for 10 years. Would that almost make you a PhD?
Oh, yeah.
Almost could get to be a PhD if you spent 5 to 15 hours a week in a book for 10 years, right? But that's the way you get to be a PhD. I don't know what that stands for, but I've heard it. So anyway, but I do know that if you'll read God's word, he will reveal, and you pray. Now you got to pray. When people say, I read the book and I don't get nothing from it, I said, you don't pray. They said, what do you mean? I said, you don't pray. Well, what do you mean pray? I said, ask the Lord to give you revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from His mighty word. I said, if you don't do that, He won't give it to you. He cannot go beyond what you can ask for in faith. So you've got to realize if you want to get something from God, you've got to be serious with God. I mean serious, serious. So Cheryl was serious, serious. And so anyway, after she had prayed and stood on the Word of God and had listened to all these teachings I'd done about how to pray and change anyone, she prayed and believed that God would move on my heart and He would change me and that she would be able to get a puppy. And so whenever the Lord spoke to me and said, son, when He told me to do this, are you going to withhold from your wife what I've made special for her? And I'm going to tell you something else, too. I know that when I was working with Bill Gothard told me one day there, he said, Thurman, I don't understand. I've been in the ministry 50 years, and he says, I have never heard the audible voice of God. Never. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, Bill, maybe I'm just so hard hearing or got a hard heart or whatever. I don't know what it is. But I said, I've heard His voice so many times, but he had never heard it. And so when you hear that voice, once you hear it one time, and you ain't going to hear it probably unless you're talking to God. Now, He can do anything He wants to, but if you're spending time with Him, talking with Him, the more you spend time with Him and talking with Him, the greater are going to be the chances that you're going to hear His voice, because He will talk back to you. And it's wonderful to hear that wonderful voice. And once He does speak to you the first time, I remember the first time God spoke to me, I had never dreamed that I was about 30-something years old, 35, whatever. I never dreamed I'd ever hear the audible voice of God. I didn't know anybody other than Scripture that said where God spoke to anybody. I didn't know He did that today. But when I was praying over Deuteronomy 6:4, He spoke to me about my children. He said, son, if you want those children to be good children, to walk in obedience to my word, you're going to have to take those next few verses and you're going to have to do what I say. And those next few verses, He says clearly in those verses, if you will love me, you'll worship me. In fact, Deuteronomy 6:4, let's just go over there and we'll come back here to Colossians. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and I want to read those to you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Okay, next verse, and then I'll let Cheryl read these. Hear what the Lord's saying here.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might.
Okay, now just think. This is a command from God for every man. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. What do you think that's going to involve? You think you're going to have to get in this book and start reading and being serious with God to ever even come close? Just think. We understand this from a male-female perspective. If you get married, most people don't do it like Cheryl and I did. Most people don't go sit down in an IHOP and I reach across the table and I don't do anything. I just ask her, you know, why would you like to go to work for me? And she says, well, I said, did you have a word from God? She said, yes, I did. I said, what did He say? And she said, oh, Pastor, I couldn't tell you. It would offend you. And I said, no. I said, if God spoke to you about working for me, I want to know what He said. And she said, well, I had a dream last night. And in that dream, I wasn't just working for you. I was married to you in the dream. And I said, well, this morning God woke me up and spoke to me audibly. And He told me that you were to be my wife. So I said, how would you like to come to work for me as my full-time helpmate? And she reached over and took my hands across the table and looked at me right in the eye and said, I'd love it. And we were married 40 days later. When we walked out of the restaurant about 4 o'clock that morning, as we're walking across to her car, she's thinking, did I just accept a proposal for marriage? I have never had a date with this man. She walked up to the car. And as she walked up to the car, I opened the door for her. And she starts to get in. I said, Cheryl, I said, now that you have agreed to marry me, would you mind if I give you a good night kiss before you leave? And And so I kissed her, and when our lips touched, that's when the fire hit. That's when God put the love of God in my heart and her heart, and so we were in love with each other from that second. Isn't that amazing how God can do that up until that time? And so that's been 13 years ago. We were married 13 years ago. We have worked in the ministry together. We have prayed for people all over this world. I mean, we've been to Norway, to Europe, all over the United States, and we have prayed for people and had so much fun in life and seen so many people's lives changed and everything. And the thing I began to notice, too, because used to, whenever I was in the, had the ministry, just me and God, whenever people would come down the aisle, he'd give me a word for somebody. You know, like, this woman needs this, or this woman needs this, or this woman has a back problem, or whatever. He would give me just little nuggets. But right after Cheryl came into my life, he started taking that away. And that started leaving. And all of a sudden, Cheryl come up with this. She said, honey, I don't know where this come from, but I just felt like that person coming down there has this problem, or that problem, or have this sin. When they get down there, we talk to them. Sure enough, that's what the problem was. And I thought, wow. So he broke this thing up. He gave her part of the gifts, and he gave me part of the gifts. And so then we get to pray for people. And so just like the other day, it was so funny. This was so funny in Indiana the other day. There was a lady came up in a wheelchair, just a skinny, skinny skin and bone lady. And I said, ma'am, we got a sin somewhere here that's, you know, holding you down. Oh, no, I have repented of all my sin. I said, you're bound to have love and some kind of love loss or bitterness or something. Oh, no, no. Pastor, I love every, she's sitting there in that wheelchair. I love everybody. I have no bitterness against nobody. And Cheryl taps me on the shoulder and said, honey, we need wisdom here. You need to ask the Lord. So I said, Lord, I need wisdom. What's the problem here? And immediately he told her, sister. Cheryl said, oh, the Lord just told me. You see how he works together as a team? So the Lord just spoke to me and said, there's a problem with your sister. Oh, my sister, I can't stand my sister. She's so evil. The lady that brought her said, ma'am, do you not hear what you're saying? And you're saying you have no unforgiveness or bitterness against nobody and you can't stand your sister. Yeah. Now, isn't it wonderful to be able to working for God? And Cheryl tell me, honey, we need wisdom here. You need to ask the Lord. So I said, okay, Lord, well, Cheryl's right. We need wisdom. And immediately when she said that and I said that, immediately he spoke to her one word, sister. But that's just like the lady that was standing right here one day. She come up, a husband and wife. And I said, what can we pray for you all for? And she said, well, I have breast cancer in my right breast. She said, I've heard your CDs about where you say that if I have cancer in my right breast, I have bitterness against a female. And she said, this time you are wrong. I guarantee I have no unforgiveness toward nobody, no woman. I'm not. I said, ma'am, the evidence is against you. I mean, you know, you got breast cancer in the right breast. You got an unforgiveness or a bitterness against a female. No, I do not. You're wrong. So Cheryl, she's over here. So she said, well, ma'am, let me talk to you a minute. And so they start talking. And, of course, I'm standing over here. And I said, okay, God, you said in your word. I'm talking real light. I said, Lord, you said in your word, if any man lacks wisdom, he needs to ask you. Is that what he said?
Yes.
So why don't we use that? So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I need wisdom in this case. And I thank you. What does he say do? Ask with
thanksgiving.
So don't ever fail to do it his way. So I said, Lord, I need wisdom for this case, and I thank you for the answer. Just like that, he said, ask the woman if her husband has ever committed adultery on her. I said, oh, honey, hold, I hate to interrupt here, but I just got a word very important from the Lord. I said, ma'am, has your husband ever committed adultery on you? Yes, he did 15 years ago, but I forgive him. And then the Lord spoke to me again. He said, ask her if she's forgiven the woman. I said, ma'am, how about the woman? She went, no, I have not forgiven her. I said, well, there's why you got breast cancer. Right there. Now, see, when God puts you together as a team, and he wants his teams of men and women to work together, he don't care how much empire you got on this earth. I don't care whether you got the world hanging on a string. What's it going to profit you if you lose your soul? it ain't going to profit you nothing, is it? So, see, we get all tied up about things here on this earth. And things on this earth don't amount to nothing. You know, do you know you could have things? Did you know? I don't know how in the world that it would work. But I know that, just like that article, my first wife, read this one day driving down the road. It says, what makes the difference? And I said, what do you mean? She said, is winning the lottery what makes the difference in your life? And she said, honey, here's 10 people that in the last few years have won a multi-million dollar lottery, and 9 out of the 10 are bankrupt.
Wow.
Only one is still sovereign. Isn't that something? So just think, if you were to come into $1 million, or just, let's make it a big, you know, just get something that's so ridiculous, $5 million. If you come into $5 million, just think, what would you do with that? I asked a lot, I just in question with different people. I said, you know, if you were to come into $1 million, what would you do with it? And they sit there and listen to me, all these things and everything, 4, 5, 6, 10 things, what they're going to do with it. And then I say, okay, is that all you're going to do with it? Well, that's all I can think of right now. I said, the first one you forgot. Tithing. Oh, I forgot that. Okay, you know why you don't have $10 million? Because you're not tithing. You're not giving God what he wants. I mean, you know, isn't it amazing how we make different things? You know, we put a different perspective on things. But it's amazing how many people I've asked that question, and they get down to the end of their list, and they never mention church, never mention going to giving to the poor and the needy. It's all about them. Isn't that something? It's all about me. Wow, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, I'm going to buy me a new Escalade. I said, what's that? I don't even know what that is. But, oh, a new car. They never fail to buy something good for themselves. Or if it's a woman, you know, she starts talking about going by these fancy clothes and all this kind of stuff. Isn't it amazing how we can think of all the good things we're going to spend money on for ourselves? A new car, a new truck, or whatever. It makes no difference. But just think, every one of us are going to have, and I don't care what anybody says, very few people in this room is going to make it to 100. I don't care what kind of faith you got. I don't care what the word says. I ain't never seen a handful of men or women in my life that can get to 100. Most of you can't get to 70. You know, when you get to 70, you're wore out, you can't do nothing, whatever. In fact, I had a man come out here this last week that's 87. Me and him talked a little while, and I said, we were talking about, you know, about at his age, he's talking about his age and what he's doing and everything. And I said, well, enjoy it, because you never know how long your life's going to be. He says, well, you know, I just went and got some of these deals and did this down in Brownwood, Texas, and did that. And I said, that lady that you went down to see, Miss Ruth? And he said, yeah. I said, did you know her husband last week passed away? He said, my gosh, I had no idea. I said, how old was he? I said, 77. He went home to be with Jesus. He said, he was in perfect health, it appeared, when I was down there only a couple of weeks ago. I said, so see, do you know when your life is going to be over? No, you don't. I said, just like I told him, I said, you know, here, you're 87, I'm 78, fixing to be 79, and me and you both have already made it several years past him. He only made it to 77, but he was a great man of God, too. He's a man that loved God, that's had his own church and all kinds of stuff. So if you die at 77, what are you going to do? Well, everything you had. The other day I was walking around out here in the shop, looking at all the stuff that I've got and all the tools I've acquired over the years, and tractors and skyjacks, tracks, and, you know, and everything. I just stopped and looked at all that and thought, wow, what am I going to do with all this stuff? Give it to Tim, I know, my son. Because do you know what? About half of the stuff I got, my son, his specialty is not equipment. So he won't know what to do with at least half of it. But he's learning. But isn't that amazing? And people fight and fuss over stuff. I mean, people have lawsuits against stuff. And let me tell you what, if you haven't checked out the Word very good lately, how much of that stuff are you going to take with you when you die? Not one single piece of it are you going to take with you. It ain't going to be worth nothing. You know, it's amazing. We need to start putting emphasis on what's important. And lives are important. Our mates are important. Our children are important. I'm telling you, it just amazes me. I love it. Every time Tim comes home, he's a busy boy, I realize, so I don't go over to see him too much. But in the last couple of weeks, he's pulled in out here and stopped and talked to me anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. I love for my son to be able to come and sit down with me. And as we're talking and he finally goes home, I sat there thinking, Lord, it makes me realize how much you enjoy talking to me. I'm your son. I'm your son. And I love talking with my daddy. Don't you? It's amazing. We forget what's important. We forget that we're children of God. We forget that we can change people's heart. When you learn how to pray and change anyone, just like Cheryl and those girls did, I'm going to tell you, she gets a big kick out of this. After Lily got grown, I mean, when Lily was a little bitty girl, she was just a 1-point-something pounds, a little bitty, tiny black girl about that big around, about as big as your hand. And so Cheryl would bring her in, set her up on the bed right in the corner of her hair, and she'd nestle right in that hair, just make her a little nest and sleep right there. Well, when she got grown, now then, instead of sleeping in Cheryl's hair, she leaves Cheryl's hair and comes over and lays her head on my pillow, on my head. Cheryl took a picture the other day, and she said, God, you must really enjoy changing us when we pray, because look at Thurman, a man that hated dogs. There he is laying there in the bed with this little black puppy's head laying on his head and her little butt's laying over on Cheryl's pillow.
He loves me too.
Yeah, for sure. But just think, that little puppy, although it's just a little tiny girl, that little puppy, she has brought, I mean, even Dave, me and Dave both, neither one of us like dogs. But Dave, he's even gotten a soft heart. He plays with Lily a little bit himself. So see, we need to realize what's important, don't we? And that stuff that we got ain't important. We're going to leave all of it here. But if you're having trouble with your mate, you need to really learn how to pray. You need to get a copy of that, How to Pray and Change Anyone. Learn how to pray and change anyone. Because if you do that and you do what it says, you can change anyone's heart. So instead of fussing and doing what we do, learn how to pray and change anyone's heart. And you can do it, because you, each one of you in this room, are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And He's given each one of us all this power. He's given us the scripture that tells us how to pray and change someone, and it works. I mean, that's just like when I got that information from the Lord about how to get a lost person saved. When I started praying for people like that, you know, it makes no sense at all to think that you can bring somebody in here. I don't care whether this big or this big. You bring them in here and say, I tell you what I've got for you. Here, I've got $10,000 cash right here in my back pocket. I want to give that to you. And oh, by the way, I went and bought you and your wife a round-trip ticket to the finest hotel in Hawaii. And it's free. I'm just going to give it to you. Can you imagine somebody saying, I'm not interested, Pastor? Wow. Would almost anybody jerk your arm off for that?
Oh, yeah.
What? They might be startled. You're going to give me $10,000? I mean, you know, $10,000. When I was a kid, the banker didn't make $10,000. But today, $10,000 is really not that much money, is it? How quick can you spend $10,000? Especially if you go to the hospital. You go to the doctor, go to the hospital, you can spend $50,000. That gentleman that stood right here the other day that showed us about the chemo pills, how much did he, Mary, do you remember, were you here that day?
$10,000.
How many?
$10,000 for those pills.
$10,000 for that little bottle of pills? $10,000 for a bottle of chemo pills. So, wow. It's amazing. But when you stop and think about what you can do with no money, and just God, and the power of prayer behind you, how you can change. What was the name of that movie about that girl in the prayer room?
War Room.
How many of y'all saw that movie? Wow, lots of you did. That's good. Well, you know how she changed when her husband was going to run around with another woman? Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Do y'all remember how she was out in the front yard saying, "And devil, this place is under new
management
or whatever, and I'm coming against you, and you ain't having my husband. Now you get away from him and leave him alone in the name of Jesus." And her husband come down with diarrhea.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Now then, see, what if she hadn't prayed? What if she had just been at home saying, "Okay, God, I'm so sorry that you give me such a lousy man." He'd probably out there running around with somebody else already. You'd have lost him. But she served notice on the devil. I was, when I saw that, I thought, that girl has learned some good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, she's telling that devil, "This place is under new management, and you're to get out of here, and you're not to come back. You're to leave my husband alone." There's some of you in this room that need to do that. You need to get a hold of that devil, and you need to grab him by the tail with the word of God, and you need to get on your knees before God, and you need to come boldly into that throne room and say, "Lord, here I am. You told me to come boldly in here. Now I'm here. And this, I got certain problems between me and my mate or me and somebody else. Now I'm coming against that in the name of Jesus. I ask you to soften her heart, make her more like Jesus, and change her life forever. And Lord, I want you to know, you told me to come in and demand these things in John 14:13-14. You told me to come in boldly and do these things. So, Lord, I'm here boldly."
Yes, Lord.
And it works, doesn't it?
Yes.
And you kick out that devil and you pray. And then you wait and see what happens when the Lord, after he moved on my heart and then come in that room and told me what he did. After about 30 minutes, I was totally out of it. I said, "Lord, I was dumbfounded that God would say, 'Son, are you going to withhold from your wife what I've made special for her? You've given me the power and authority as a human being on this earth, the power to say yes or no.'" So anyway, I thought, well, I can't study anyways. I just go to bed. So I get up and I go back to the bedroom and I crawl in the bed, and Cheryl comes bouncing across the top of the bed and gets right over my face and says, "Well." I said, "Well, what?" She said, "My puppy, can I have her?" I said, "Yes." So she jumps out and goes, runs, and gets a picture off the internet and brings a picture of this little teeny puppy and said, "Here she is." I said, "You've already found her?" She said, "Oh, yeah, I've been looking for her. God's already showed her to me." Isn't that amazing? And, of course, we got the puppy, and that little puppy's been the life and bounce of Cheryl's life, and, of course, all the rest of us, too. I will have to say, she is something special around here. That is amazing. And I guarantee I don't hate that puppy. I love that little puppy almost as much as I do my own kids. So can a woman or a man change the other one's heart with the word of God? Yes, because only a few months ago, a few years ago, I hated dogs. You ain't bringing no dog in my house. I ain't one going to sleep in the bed with me. I guarantee that ain't going to happen. But when it came to my wife and her prayer for her little puppy, God changed my heart. Now, can he change your heart?
Yes.
Yes, he can, because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And when we pray and do something, pray and ask him to change someone, the scripture says that the heart of the servant is in Proverbs 21:1. Yeah. In fact, let's look at that right quick. Let's look at Proverbs 21:1. Let's see what that says.
"The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will."
Okay, well, stop and think about that. If the king... Read that one more time.
"The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord,
okay,
as the rivers of water."
Now that we're talking about the king's heart, that could be your heart. Doesn't make any difference who it is. That could be Thurman or Cheryl's heart is in the hand of the Lord.
As the rivers of water.
As the rivers of water.
He turneth it whithersoever he will.
First several times I read that, I thought, Lord, what determines where you turn that heart? And I got to thinking about there's only one thing that can make him change anybody's heart, and that's your prayer. You see where I'm coming from? If you don't pray, in other words, I used to think that if any way God messed up is when he gave us free will. Well, I've now realized you have a free will until I pray. Then you don't have a free will no more. Because I can pray and change you. Just like my heart, I would never have dreamed ever that I would have ever let a dog in my house. But because of the prayer of this woman sitting here on the front row, God softened my heart. Just like she requested, Lord, soften my husband's heart and make his heart more like Jesus. Because if he's like Jesus, then he'll have a soft heart and he'll want a puppy. And you know, that makes sense, doesn't it? But if we don't pray, I guarantee that's the problem in the church today. We don't pray. I mean, we fuss about things, we grumble and complain about things, but we don't pray. But that scripture, that if you move on, if you go to the Lord and you get him to change, if you get him to do what you want him to do and you talk to him, I guarantee if it's something that pertains to the kingdom of God, you will get your answer every time. Now, if you ask for something stupid, you know, like, Lord, I need a new Escalade, you may or may not get that. If he knows you need a new Escalade to be about his business, guess what? You get a new Escalade. But if he knows you can do it with a whatever, then that's just like the day we bought the airplane. You know, I thought I wanted an airplane. And so we done some flying around here and went out and looked and everything. And we finally found the airplane in Denver, Colorado. We thought we wanted. The guy flew it down here and me and Dave went out and we flew around in this thing and everything. And boy, we thought, well, this thing is beautiful. This is pressurized airplane. This is exactly what we want. But there was one thing. It takes money. We didn't have enough money. So I said, Lord, if it's your will for us to have this airplane. See, this is one time I don't know what his will is. So I said, Lord, if it's your will for us to have this airplane, you're going to have to send me the money. I said, we'll use it for your glory, I promise you. And he knew I was telling the truth. He knew we'd go places and that airplane. And we did. We flew that airplane all over the United States. But I said, Lord, we need the money to buy this airplane. And that night, there was a woman called about 1 o'clock in the morning and says, Cheryl, I hate to call you this time of night, but I've got to have an answer. So Cheryl said, no problem. What can we help you with? So we got her problem taken care of in a few minutes. She said, oh, by the way, does your ministry need anything? Cheryl said, well, Thurman thinks we need an airplane, and so if you would like to help us with that, that would be wonderful. And she said, well, what does it cost? How much is it going to cost? So Cheryl told her. She said, okay, no problem. So she hung up the phone. And the next day, FedEx pulled in out there with a certified cashier's check to pay cash for that airplane. You think it was God's will for me to have that airplane? Because ain't nobody could have moved on that person's heart besides God, right? I can guarantee you God moved on that heart, knocked on that person's heart and said, you know, send the Living Savior Ministry that money. They need that airplane. I own everything on 1,000 hills. All the money you got, I give it to you. So said that they need it. They need an airplane. So send them a check. And guarantee the next day, too, that person was very obedient to God's word because we got it. Now, I mean, we used that airplane. We have flown that airplane all over the United States. We've been to California and back 2 or 3 times. We've been to Baltimore and back a time or two. But we've been all over. Went to Oshkosh one time. We've been to Baltimore. We've been all kinds of places with that airplane. And it's wonderful to have a big twin-engine pressurized airplane that you can fly, just get up there and be over in South Carolina and go up to 15,000 feet and hit the autopilot, set it on GPS, and it brings you right to Dallas. Don't have to do nothing, just sit there. Is that wonderful?
Yeah.
I'm telling you. God, if you learn how to pray, he will change anybody. You can, when you think, well, my buddy has got a free will. He can do what he wants to. He can do it until you pray. When you pray, just like that war room on that woman, right?
Yes.
Yeah, when that woman prayed, I mean, the Lord moved. And when I saw that, I mean, you could just tell what was fixing to happen with that man. He was fixing to come down with a bad case of diarrhea. You could just see it. And the way they did that, it was so cool. I thought, God, if we would only learn this movie, if we would just listen to this movie and realize this movie is true, we can pray and change anyone if we... Now, you need to be walking in obedience to God's word. You need to be a good son or daughter of God. So you need to be getting along with your mate, if possible. You know, you need to be... You need to be just walking in love. Is that agreed?
Yes.
We need to be in love. So if we're in love, then we can come to the Lord. Don't do something like Peter did there when he says, Lord, do you want me to go over there and get something to eat? And he said, well, yeah. Well, we went over there and got on. They wouldn't give you nothing to eat. You want me to go over there and call down fire from heaven, just kill them all? Now, see, that's what we want to do it sometimes, right? Is that what we feel like doing it sometimes? But the Lord told Peter, no, Peter, that's not what I want you to do. You don't know what spirit you're of. I don't want you to go over and kill them. I want you to go over there and love them. So that's the Lord's way of doing things. Okay. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But the king's heart. Let's go back to Colossians where we were. Colossians chapter 1, about verse 5 or 6, or wherever we were.
We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you.
Yeah. How often did he tell us to pray?
Always.
Always. You notice that? Sometimes just one little word in the scripture changes everything. He asks us to pray always. Wow.
Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints.
Okay, just think. If they don't have any faith, is it going to do any good for them to pray? Not much. But you know, they need to learn to develop their faith. Okay, go on to the next verse.
For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Just think. He's talking about there that we do not cease to pray. And I just wonder if I could challenge each one of us today to think, how much praying did I do this last week? You know, did I really pray or did I just fuss a lot? That's real easy to grumble and complain. Now, I mean, I know that. You know, I mean, you can lose your cool pretty quick. I know, I've done it a few times. Sometimes when we get upset with ourselves or whatever or something we're doing, you know, it's just amazing how easy it is to get upset and fuss about something instead of stopping and praying. Y'all understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm the only one in here that does that. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that loses my cool and fusses. But it's, you know, the Lord told us instead of fussing, what did he tell us to do?
Pray.
Pray. In other words, if you pray and do what I say and you have faith, he said, then I will change people. I will change their heart. I will answer your prayer every time, and great and mighty things will happen. Just think how easy it is for him to change people's heart. He can do it, can't he, Mary? I mean, he can do all these awesome things.
That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
And boy, there's a lot of good stuff in that, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and of his callings. Wow. Every good work. Wow. And increasing in the knowledge of God. If you're going to increase in the knowledge of God, you're going to have to spend time with him this week in the Word. I've learned there's not any way to increase in knowledge of God unless you're spending time with him in the Word. Listen to the Word, listen to the Word, listen to the Word. Read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. And if you'll do that, things will change. All right, go on and read the next one.
Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Wow, there's another one of those things that says, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks. Well, let me ask you a question. I'd like for us to just think about this. How many times do you think that this week, this last week, you did give thanks to the Lord? I mean, think about this. Did you do it a lot of times? In fact, I got real tickled at one of our girls in here the last week. I was sitting in here. Of course, when I come through the cafe, the kitchen, whether I'm getting a glass of water or a snack to nibble on or whatever, when I walk in there, it makes no difference who's in there. Well, there ain't nobody in there, just me and God. I say, praise the Lord. Do you do that? So anyway, one of our girls was in there, and she says, I never seen anybody like you. She's a new girl. I said, what do you mean? She said, it doesn't matter where you're at. You can walk through the ministry center, wherever you are, you always say, praise the Lord. She said, you know how I feel when you say that? I said, well, it would be interesting to know what you think. She said, I'm sitting here, and when you walk in and say, praise the Lord, it makes me want to jump up and say, praise the Lord. I said, I think that's what he's trying to tell you. That's what he wants. So when you walk into your home, if you say, praise the Lord, I can imagine, now, from Scripture, what do you think the angels in heaven are doing when you say, praise the Lord? They're praising the Lord too, aren't they, young lady? So do you think that's what God wants us to do? Is he worthy of that praise?
Oh, yes.
Oh my goodness, is he worthy of that praise? Did he die on that cross for your sins?
Yes.
Did he go to hell for you for 3 days for because of what you did? Just think of the things he did that he paid for that you ain't going to have to experience none of those. Isn't that wonderful? I can easily say, praise the Lord. Can't you? Thank you, Lord. Why don't we all stand up and say, praise the Lord. Lord, we praise you. Lord, you're a mighty God. You're the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And we love you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And Lord, we thank you for healing everybody today. We thank you for saving everybody who's not saved. Anybody that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, we ask them to come. And we will talk to them about salvation. And Lord, we praise you and thank you and worship you for being the King of kings, Lord of lords. What a mighty God. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, and everybody can be seated except the prayer team. The prayer team, I want the prayer team to stay standing up, and then you need to look around and see who the prayer team members are. And as these people that are standing up, even Sharon back there in the back, these are our prayer warriors. And if you need prayer for anything today, you need to come to me and Cheryl or Kim and Scott or Sharon or Dave or whoever else. I think that's all that's here today. So that's all of us. But we will be here for as long as it takes to pray with you and get your problem taken care of. Now remember, no matter what the problem is you have, God promises in his word that if we walk in love and obey him, the answer to all of his promises are yes and amen. So every time he says, my promises are always yes. So when we come to God, we repent of our sin, whatever you're going to be praying with a prayer warrior for, when you come forward to pray, make sure you have got your sins confessed and you're praising the Lord and that you're going to walk in love this week, because guess who's going to go with you when you leave here today?
Jesus.
He's going to go with you. He promised to never forsake you or never to leave you. So he will be with you everywhere you go. So if you'll praise him and worship him and thank him, I guarantee he will answer your prayer request. And it doesn't make a difference what it is. He can touch anybody's heart. You can change anything. All you got to do is be willing to walk in love. Okay? Okay, now if you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over there on the wall. If you want any of the CDs and DVDs, they're all free. Take as many as you like and just get you a sack or a bucket or whatever. Take as many of the CDs and DVDs as you want home with you. Take some to give to your friends, because we're still giving away from 10 to 15,000 a week of these CDs and DVDs every week. are going out somewhere all over the world. So they're changing people's lives, and some of you are here today because somebody gave you a CD or a DVD. And you listened to it, and you heard things you'd never heard, because we try to teach the Word of God just exactly like it's written, and God answers people's prayer. And when people repent of sins, He heals them and sets them free and changes their life forever. And it's good to know a God that answers prayer. Don't you love it?
Yes.
I do. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, my prayer team members, they all saw who they were a while ago. If you need to be prayed for, you're going to be dismissed to go to a prayer team. If you don't need anything, you're going to be dismissed also. So come back next Sunday. We'll see you then, and praise the Lord. May all of you have a great week, and may you pray like we did already for the people in South Texas, because they are going to need a lot of help in the next week. So will you promise that you'll pray for some of them?
Yes.
During the week, or at least once or twice? Okay, you're dismissed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.